Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome to Relationship Marketing, everyone. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Grave, the dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you this week live from Las Vegas, Nevada. It's probably another 100-plus degrees today, but we're having a good time chilling out over here, and we have got a great show for you today. I am so excited about our guests. And before I get to them, though, I have my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com. Rhonda, are you there? And I hope you got yourself unmuted because I'm not in the control panel yet.
I did. I got everybody unmuted, yes. And yay, I am so happy. It is raining here. It is so beautiful. I stood out in the rain, one of those nice, soaking, long rains. Oh, did that feel delicious. You probably wouldn't mind some of that over there in the heat.
Absolutely. It has been hot, hot, hot over here the last couple of days.
Are you going to see Judith and Jim while you're out there?
You know, I'm really hoping to, so with any luck at all, we'll be able to make that happen.
Oh, I hope so. Say hi for me and give them a hug if you do get to see them in person. We've been having a good time lately.
I will most certainly do that. So shall I let you do the honors or shall I?
You know what? I would love for you to because you, I mean, yes, I can say great things about them. They're awesome. I'm very excited. But you've met them in person. So I would love for you to introduce the Tall Trees to everybody today.
Well, our guests today are Chief Robert Talltree and his wife, Terry Talltree. I had the privilege of meeting them and spending my birthday with them just a few weeks ago. I don't know that I could even do them justice with all that they are about and all that they do. I will let them tell you a lot of their story. What I will say is that they are really people who know relationship marketing well. Not because they have businesses online. They're just getting that end of their business started right now. But because of what they've been doing for the last 30-plus years, traveling around the country, teaching children about peace and change and about how everything is possible. And they have such a powerful message, and they do such a great job of really making an impact in carrying that message. And so I'm really thrilled to have them here on the show with us today.
We're really, really excited to be here, Gina.
How are you, Terry? Are you back from your trip?
I am. I'm great. Thanks for asking.
And do we have Robert here, too?
Absolutely.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. It's funny, you met Gina on her birthday, and now you're on the radio show just a couple of days past my birthday. I just think that's kind of funny.
That's funny. Happy belated
happy birthday,
Ms. Rhonda.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a July 4th baby. I just thought that was funny timing, her birthday and as close to mine as she met on the radio show. That's cool.
That is cool.
Absolutely.
And we are both so very, very dedicated to peace and bringing about understanding, and so we're just really thrilled and honored to have you here, and I just woke up excited going, yay, I finally get to meet these guys in person on the radio, woohoo!
So, Robert, you do such a great job of telling your story in a way that really moves people immediately, so I want to start out by having you share the story that brought you to where you're at today.
Well, my particular life begins, of course. I was raised by a single parent. My mother raised me, my brother, and my sister. I've come from what most people consider poverty, I guess, because we did have a kind of a shack that we lived in with a dirt floor and a wood stove that we used to heat and cook upon. I'd heat the room and also cook our meals upon. We had an outhouse and carried a water from a well. And of course, there was numerous individuals that lived the same way, and they said this is the way it is, and this is the way it always will be. But my mother, who's still, thank God, alive, had the vision that there was so much more that we could be as not only for herself, but also for her children, and took it upon herself to call upon Native elders from my reservation to come and get me and kind of guide me on my life's journey. Of course, it was interesting because I didn't realize that this was really what my passion was. I was confused by the culture and what they were what the society was trying to tell me what you were supposed to do was find a good job, work for 30 years, have 2.5 kids. I went for 3, and then from there retire, and that was considered a happy, healthy life. And even though I tried to do that, work at various jobs, trying to take and find my particular personal niche, something that would really drive me, I really couldn't quite find it. And in the midst of it all, I was still doing little programs and assisting those elders on the side while I was still near my home in Michigan and near the reservation where they resided. And it wasn't until about 25 or when I hit about 30 or so that I realized that it was right before me, the things in which they had taken and embraced and instilled upon my heart, the wisdom and stories and the songs, and I was their vehicle. I found out later that their own family, their own relatives, their own children didn't seem to be really interested in that aspect of the culture. And so I guess what they saw in me was a unique way of perpetuating that wisdom into generations to come beyond themselves. So when I talk to individuals, I always give full credit to Chief Little Elk, Chief Thurman Bear, Chief Ike Pelzer, Chief Pontiac. Those were the ones that had a tendency instilling upon the nature of that wisdom, which I take and plant those seeds within the children and within the adults and everyone who has an opportunity to cross my path.
Why did I not realize you grew up in Michigan? Where in Michigan?
I actually grew up in Saginaw, Michigan. My reservation is Mount Pleasant. That's where I was born.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I mean, I was born in Cleveland, and then by third grade we moved to Chicago. So Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, mm-hmm. Illinois, kind of like all my old stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm from Chicago as well, and some of my family were in Michigan for quite a while. So, yeah, that's an amazing story in that you were able to honor that wisdom in a time when sometimes it wasn't, if you will, cool or acceptable or whatever to want to honor that tradition, that past.
Well, actually, even when I met my wife, I told her, I said, all this information I have in my heart and in my mind, it seems that I've become obsolete. And, of course, she wept. And she said, no, she said, you have to wait. You have to be patient. And, of course, at that particular time, we were doing some trainings and teachings for teachers. But, like I said, she was right in aspects of her instincts. And I think that's one of the reasons why she is in my life, because she also has had Native American training even before I met her. In fact, one of the things while I was a much younger man, what I would do to try to influence the pretty ladies when they walked in my shop back then, because I had a jewelry shop for almost 20 years, was I speak to them in my language to impress them, of course. And this particular instance, when I spoke to Terry, my wife, today, she actually spoke back in my language, which I had nothing else to say after that.
She made you tongue-tied, huh?
Absolutely. I was just dumbfounded in aspect. And I tell everyone that was it. I said I was a goner. She captured me with her smile and with her grace and with her beauty and with her intellect. So she's a brilliant woman.
And I had the great fortune to share a number of dinners with the Tall Trees when we were together in Dallas. And so one of the nights, Terry really blew me away telling me the story of how the two of them met and came together. It was just an incredible story. I don't know if we'll have time for that by the end of the show today, but if we do, I really want you to tell that story again because it's an amazing story. And Terry's really been there to, I don't even know how to even describe it, to really help bolster your message and carry hers at the same time. Terry, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you guys came to do what you do today?
Mm-hmm.
When we first got together, it was very clear to me when I first met Robert what a powerful impact he could have on not a small, just a small group of people, but literally on humanity, because he has not only an incredible message to share, but just who he is as a human being. He just stands in, and Gina, you know, you've been with him. He has an incredible, peaceful, gentle presence, and a very strong
Absolutely.
Presence. And I think when people are in his presence, they immediately get that there is no rage in his heart. There is only an unconditional love for others and an acceptance and a compassion. And I was so aware of that the very first time I laid eyes on him, that I always tell people, it's an incredible honor to stand at his side and to walk this journey of life with him as his companion, because he's an extraordinary human being. And so when we first got together, I used to just say, well, I'd just be happy to carry his medicine bundle, you know, and just support him in that. And I'm pretty shy by nature. Although, you know, if I'm talking about something I'm really passionate about, people don't get that. But, like, I'm not like a chatter. You know, I don't do well in social settings where people just mingle and chat. I'm like a little clam. You know, I don't have a lot to say on a superficial level. And so I'm pretty shy. And so I was always really content to just stand in the background and kind of watch the energy that was happening and support him in fulfilling his life purpose. And I had a dear friend who said, oh, no, you are part of that vision. The two of you coming together will affect so many more people than just either one of you alone. And you really represent that incredible balance of the male and female energy.
Wow.
And at the time, you know, I could hear it, but I didn't really, I still was kind of content to stay in the background. And one day we were at a school, and a little girl who was just adorable, she looked like she may be like Polynesian or something. She was much larger than the rest of the kids in her class. She was very tall and just larger, you know, in size. And I was in the back of the room. I was just in, you know, like a skirt or jeans or something in the back of the room watching. And he was doing a presentation in the front, and that little girl walked past me at the end of the program, stopped right in front of me, looked at me, looked at him, turned around and said, you two are the same.
Wow.
I remember feeling like, oh, you know, the incredible insight and wisdom of children, because their filters are not up yet. They're not filtering out and editing. They're just
right.
Being really, you know, what is. And I'll never forget that. And shortly after that, he had been asking me to teach at his side and saying, you know, there's so much you have to share. And I was like, oh, but, you know, you just do it so well. And he continued to ask. And I am very respectful of the Native culture. I've had some very amazing teachers and very generous teachers from both the Anishinaabe culture, the Ojibwe culture, and mm-hmm. the Lakota people. And I'm mm-hmm. very, very honored to carry the wisdom that they've shared with me. And I'm also very mindful of people doing things in a good way. And so when Robert's mother, who's our clan matriarch, said, you know, you are now one of us. Go teach with your husband. At that point, I was given the permission from an elder
to do
that. And even then, I was still kind of holding back, you know. And I think this happens to a lot of people in life. Like, we kind of know we're getting the message, getting the little nudges, but we're still not ready to really step fully into our life's purpose. it's kind of like that, well,
mm-hmm.
who do you think you are? Or who would want to hear what you have to say? Or who would want to hear your voice? You know, me as a vocalist, who would want to hear your voice? And we have those conversations. I know I have had those conversations, and many people that we've encountered have that conversation where they kind of hold back. One day we woke up, we were going to do a program. He was going to do a program, and I was going with him, just, you know, the back of the room. And he had no voice. He had total laryngitis. I mean, nothing. Nothing came. It was like a little, like one little sound he could, as long as he didn't make any change in the intonation, like one little sound. And he looked at me and he said, oh, you're going to have to do it today. And so that was the day it started. I said, okay. And I had, you know, been there supporting him so much. It was, I knew what needed to be done. I just wasn't, I guess, confident and ready for it. And that day, it was like, I always say it's like the cosmic clunk, the universal nudge, you know? Like, okay, you're ready, whether you think you're ready or not. And so that's really how it began with us standing side by side and doing the work that we do together now. That was how it all began. And really, the message people say, well, what do you do? And it doesn't matter if we're speaking to very young children or to people who are young at heart. It doesn't matter if they're 3 or 103. In many ways, the message is identical because, as Robert says, wisdom is timeless. And
right.
So that's, you know, the work is that.
That's beautiful. There are a couple of things I just wanted to kind of interject here. One of them is that both of you have such a place of coming from a calm, collected center and such a strength of presence. I have not seen you in person, and what I can feel, I'm very intuitive anyway, but and as a blind person also, what I can hear in your voice and sense in you, you carry that even over the phone, over the radio, whatever, and that comes through to people. And what you have is just so incredibly beautiful that you can be a husband and wife team doing this together. Wow. I mean, that's something I could just, it's a real dream to be able to do that. It's so powerful.
It is.
We do feel quite blessed in the aspects of what we do. When it comes to, many individuals, like, we've had individuals say, oh, you're on the road and living out of a suitcase, it must be terrible. I said, it is if you think it's that way. And other people say, oh, you're always on the road living out of a suitcase. It must be wonderful seeing new places and meeting all people from all over the world. I said, it is if you think of it that way. So, you know, we try to take and say, and get and reach within them that the world and the things in which we have a tendency of embracing is the way we think it's going to be. I mean, it's relative to what has been set within our own personal blueprint of our life. I mean, I could have went to the aspects of many of the individuals that were living very, very poor and having trouble making ends meet, or I could say there's a big world out there. If I stay here with this negativity, I'm liable to stay here still thinking this is the way that the limitations are what other people say and not what says what's in, within my heart. And so that's one of the reasons why I had to make that move. Excuse me. Sure, you want to expand on that?
Yeah, you have a frog in your throat.
A little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, and Gina, your work, and I have to say, it is such an honor to be on the show with both of you today. And Gina, this morning, Robert and I were just talking and saying what an extraordinary person you are and how blessed we feel to have you in our life and how much we appreciate who you are and what you do and what you have, you know, done for us. You just, I don't think you can even begin to see the light that you are in the world. And
absolutely.
So I just wanted to share that. And yeah, and you were talking, Annie, about the negativity. And in your course, one of the things that you talk about first, before anything else, is let's handle the mindset. Let's look at what is it in our thinking that we need to set right. We need to get clear on, and we need to raise up to a place where we can view our life and view the world in a positive light and see the opportunity, see the benefit, see the gift in this, in the situation, and take what a situation is and extract the best from it so that we move forward and we're empowered. We're not weakened from it. We're empowered from it. And that's a lot of what you do. So
I think that it's easy for individuals to actually, I don't think individuals have a tendency of really realizing why they connect so well with Gina, because initially, Gina's following her passion. I mean, it started from, of course, the physical ordeal. I think the Creator gave you, Gina, that cosmic clunk when you had the automobile accident. And, of course, that was quite traumatizing for you. And, of course, with all the prognosis of the doctors saying that you weren't going to live much longer than a year and all the medications that you had to take and just try to keep yourself alive. And then your heart and your mindset drove you to where you are now. And now you are expecting so many more people than you could have ever dreamed of when you were working as an attorney. I mean, you were affecting people on a smaller scale, but now you're like starting to, people are hearing your name around the world. So it's
absolutely, it always hurts when my mother says, "Why aren't you going back to practicing law? You know, you had this huge career and it was so amazing. Why do
right.
you live in a trailer?" Well, I don't live in a trailer. First of all, I live in a $500,000 bus. It's a little different.
Right.
But
yeah, just a bit.
It hurts because I see it exactly as you do. If I had stayed as an attorney, I never would have been able to really change the world. And my message is one that when my students hear it, each and every one of them are then going to go out and do their part to change the world. And
right.
to me, it's leverage, right? It's no different than the business techniques that I teach. It's a way of getting leverage for changing the world by teaching
right.
others to do that for themselves. The more people I can teach how to change the world, the more likely it's going to be that we might make an itty-bitty little bit of difference at some point.
Absolutely.
And without the mindset, most people are not really going to get the results that they want, and they're certainly never going to even come close to changing the world. So without starting at the mindset, the rest of what I have to share doesn't really matter, to tell you the truth. It's only when you get the mindset right and you get into that abundant, positive mindset that everything else I teach actually starts making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things when we have a tendency of doing our programs, it's really difficult because when we're in the educational system, we see the young children and their minds are so open, their hearts are open, their visions are open, that there's nothing that's impossible for them to take on. And within when they start getting into middle school, that you can see that even in their eyes that brightness, that shininess is starting to become dull because they're starting to succumb to so many individuals around them saying that no, that's not possible, or no, you know, you can't afford it, or no, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not, you know, you're just not enough. And so people, and I see over 80% of society actually succumbing to that particular teaching. And so we have to, I feel like we're consistently trying to unravel that ball that they've taken and wound around themselves and say, okay, here's where you got off track. Here's where your path got off. This is what I want you to really start to contemplate. You know, the reason why you're here is because you believed in all these individuals, from all these individuals, which were most likely your friends or even your own family, and you thought, well, they wouldn't steer me wrong because they love me, and so therefore I need to take and they want me to be safe, and they want me to be happy, so I'm going to follow their path and not my own heart's desire. And so we teach the individuals from, primarily we try to see if we can implement those positive thought processes within the children, and then we take and work back up again. And sometimes it's going backwards, forwards, backwards when we do corporate trainings, and so other times it's back to teaching the children to really follow that. You know, I said, what is it that excites you? What is it that you feel really that It's your energy up, because that's relative to, that was placed there by the Creator, and the Creator
mm-hmm.
wants you to be happy. So,
right.
You need to follow that passion.
Right. And that's so, it's a powerful message, and it's, you know, there are so many good things about the technology that's available in this day and age, to where people can more easily communicate all over the world. And I can be on a call with people from Australia and England and the U.S. and wherever, all at the same time, guiding them to follow your passion and do great things. And at the same time, there is often such a communication gap or a communication of things that are meant to keep you in your little box and to keep you in your place. And that's a sad thing.
You know, the thing about the Internet that's so amazing is that, you know, from a quantum level, it's time and space are both illusions. And so the Internet collapses that, right? It removes the restriction of time and space. Just for exactly what you were just saying, Rhonda, we can be having a conversation and a connection with someone halfway across the world, and there's no appearance of distance. Like the connection is no different than somebody one street over. And time-wise, anything can happen. And it's a really amazing time to be alive because of that, because so much is happening. I always think it's interesting, you know, in our culture we have the dream catcher. You know the dream catcher? Are you familiar?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's from you know, our nation, the Ojibwa people. And it reminds me of the Internet, right, the World Wide Web. It's like it's a big dream catcher. And we can make dreams. We can make dreams come true. We can, you know, it's conversations like this where people can start to think, oh, yeah, some of the thoughts that I'm having aren't even my original thoughts. They're just things that I've carried forward from someone else, and they have been playing, like on autopilot. And it doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean it's false. It just Does it serve me? Does it empower me? Does it assist me in fulfilling my life's purpose? Am I living on purpose in my life? Because the one thing that that I strongly, strongly know in my life is that when I live my life on purpose, then all things come together in a way where they work, not only for my highest good, but for everyone else that I come in contact with, works for their highest good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't experience the stress that we're seeing so many people having just, you know, unbearable levels of stress in their life. And I really feel like that's that disconnect that's happening where people are, one of my elders used to say, spiritually bankrupt, but I'm not sure that that's really the word. It's just that disconnection from their heart, from their sense of who they are and why they're here,
right,
and belonging. You know, we all have that. We have that internal urgency to fulfill something greater than we're experiencing right now, and we know it because we sense it in every cell and fiber of our being that we're here for something, and that if we don't figure out what that is, that we will feel very, very unfulfilled at the end of the day. And we never know, you know, Gina, you and I talked about this, we never know what our life is going to bring in the next moment.
Right.
We only have this moment. And so we want to live this moment fully expressing who we are and what we came here to do. And when we do that, the impact on our lives, the quality of the experience of our lives and our sense of being true to ourselves and being a whole, authentic human being is immediately it's realized. We make it real. And then we can't help. Just exactly, you know, when you were talking about the impact and how everyone that you, whose life you touch, then they go out and they touch another life. And it's the image that we give when you throw a pebble into water, that pebble may not know. I think in Siddhartha he says, you know, he may not know the effect that it has on the water, it just simply follows its destiny.
And right.
continues its journey to the bottom of the pool. But in the passing through the water, every cell, every molecule in that water has been affected at its passing. And that's what happens in our life. We have this ripple effect, and we have that no matter what. We have it whether we want to or not, whether we like it or not. It has nothing to do with what we think about it. It
right.
simply is. Our presence
right.
affects everyone, right? So we may as well have a positive impact.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since we get to choose it, right, we might as well.
Well, why not? It's more fun that way. That's what I always tell people. You know, it's
yeah,
like, well,
yeah.
why not? I had an experience very recently. I mean, just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, I'm a person, I am mostly blind and have been so my whole life. And I feel very grateful for that because it's caused me to make sure that I'm looking within and drawing strength from there. And as much as I just say I'm just living my life, I find that by sharing that I do things differently and my perceptions are different, it causes people to say, well, if this blind person can put together products, run a business, et cetera, then I better get off my duff and do something. I've got no excuses. And so moving into that space of, well, if this inspires you, then great. Let it inspire you to bring out all the greatness that you have within you and do the work that the Creator put in you to do.
Absolutely.
And
beautiful.
I don't know,
beautiful.
Rhonda, if you knew that my sister's been totally blind since the age of 7.
Ah.
So here's my mother who's working 2 jobs and trying to take and keep us fed and
right.
clothed and find wood to keep the house warm and so forth. I was saying to Gina how I remember putting moist pieces of paper in the cracked glass windows to keep the cold and the snow out. And I do remember the times when my mother would fix a meal and whatever was left from that particular meal, that's what she would have because there was no other food in the house. So I, being able to see and having a baby brother and a sister that was totally blind, I often didn't eat as much as I probably should have either. But initially, it kind of instilled upon me how parents have a tendency of always sacrificing for their children. It wasn't until later that I realized that sometimes we sacrifice too much. In fact, my wife brought to my attention. And but getting back to my sister, back then, of course, all they had in Michigan was they put blind children in trade schools where they learned how to cane chairs and broom and make brooms.
Right.
My mother knew that my sister actually had much more potential than that. And so she took me and my brother and my sister. Actually, after my sister had had her 30th operation on her eyes, she was reading an old magazine, it was like McCall's or what have you, and she saw that in California they were mainstreaming children with disabilities. And so she realized that her daughter had much more potential than that, so she put me and my sister and my brother in the car. We had a 1957 Studebaker, and she drove as far as she could until she ran out of gas, and then she would work with the migrant workers and to make enough money to put gasoline in that car, make bologna sandwiches and Kool-Aid, and put her babies back in the car and continue on our journey. And she did that for many times until she reached California to where my sister excelled. My sister has 2 teaching degrees and speaks 5 languages fluently. Joined the Peace Corps with her husband, who was blind in one eye, set up the first school for blind children on the island of Samoa, which still exists today. After 2 years, made $10,000 when working for the Peace Corps, came back to the States, started a pizzeria, did so well, she bought a second pizzeria, and did so well that when she sold it, she was pretty well semi-retired. She has 2 biological children that can see perfectly, sent them both to school, to college, and she also smuggled 1 child from the island of Samoa into the United States and eventually adopted that child who was totally blind. So my sister is now a very strong advocate for vision-impaired people and is often flies to the Capitol on their behalf. So she's quite a dynamic person. And the reason why I write my children's book and the way in which they have such a unique style about them when I write anything is because the way that I explained things to my sister was as colorful as I could think of as a child, and it became my style of writing. So a lot of things that happen in individuals' lives, we don't realize what the initial outcome was, but initially, you know, my sister being there at my side and And me and her becoming so close as children really had a tendency of also influencing who I am today.
Right.
Right. And, you know, Rhonda, you were saying that you have different abilities. Like, I prefer myself rather than people using the term disabilities is different abilities because, like Sissy, I mean, her kids used to say, we can't even hide because she can hear us breathing.
That's true.
You know, she has this amazing, and I think I heard you talking one time about hearing when someone set their keys down somewhere.
Right.
And they couldn't find their keys, but you knew exactly where they were. And, you know, there are many, many gifts. And, in fact, on the island of Samoa, they were saying that because there's a high population of children who are born vision impaired, that they actually were the timekeepers. They kept history. They were the ones who kept history and had the oral history of what happened when. And they were, you know, they had an extraordinary gift for that. So, yeah, I agree. It's really, we each have different strengths, different talents, and the way that we use those affects the world in ways that, you know, it just wouldn't happen otherwise.
Right. Yeah, I was so startled when somebody recently said to me they were sorry that happened to me, that, you know, that I was pulled out with the salad spoons, as Bill Cosby would say, and that caused my blindness. And he said he was sorry it happened to me. And I said, I'm not. I think I probably can touch more lives and do more things this way. I'm not at all regretful. I feel very grateful and blessed, and I do not feel at all sorry. And there's nothing wrong with me that there
right.
should be any reason to feel sorry.
Right. You're whole and
intact.
Yes, absolutely.
I think one of the most funniest stories I heard from my sister was when she had the pizzeria and she was running the register, and of course all of her equipment talked, her cash register talked, her credit card machines talked, and the only time she'd have difficulties when somebody wrote a check, but then she'd hold it up backwards and one of her staff or employees would say, yep, and she'd stick it in the drawer. But she was taken and needed some more employees, and so there she had one of her people taking applications, and the woman noticed that my sister was at the cash register, and so she got indignant. She goes, oh, I suppose you only hire the handicapped. And the employee said, what are you talking about? And she goes, I'm talking about that blind person over there. What do you call her? She goes, oh, I call her boss.
Boss, yeah. I love that. That's so great.
I love that, too. Yeah.
But, you know, initially my sister is really quite the role model for individuals, because she doesn't look at it as a handicap. She's a dynamic woman and one that has really influenced and changed so many individuals. And so I feel quite blessed to have her in my life. And then my little brother grew up to be an artisan that creates artwork for museums that are Native American. If there's somebody who wants something that's in a museum that they want for another museum, he's the man to call. And he has a great passion. He likes to live very, very simple on the reservation. And just enjoy life. So each and one of us have become success in our own type of niche.
Excellent. Absolutely. And that gives so much power to touch people's lives and do things because of that difference, people tend to take notice a little bit more. And the same thing that things that Gina went through, that a lot of times inspires people because the things that she's overcome. And it's a great inspiration for other people, even though we both would say, hey, we're just living our passion, living our life, but that's how it is. That's how the perception is of people.
And I think that's what happens. I've always said to Terry and to numerous individuals, I said, when people start following their passion and really having a good life, we're like magnets. We start finding each other. And you know, when that happens the other way, too, if somebody's living in kind of negativity, you find they end up getting these little cliques or these little areas that they all live in, and they kind of feed off of each other. And I thought, and they never seem to go beyond it because they've gotten so used to it, and they think this is their whole world. They don't realize there's so much more that they could have their heart and their spirit actually express and embrace. And it's kind of sad when people have a tendency of not allowing themselves to even just look up to see there's so much more.
Yes.
This has been really fun talking about these bigger things and getting this the world to know that we all exist. I was asking Terry, I said, I wonder how many people this program reaches. I see it's got a lot of great information, and I hope people are starting to take and utilize this information and seeing how they can use some of these specific tools to really empower themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting thing. I don't know how many people the show reaches. What I can tell you is that every time I look at my statistics and my metrics, I am over and over again blown away by the diversity of the community that follows me or surrounds me. In a four-week period about 2 months ago, I watched for how many different countries people were coming from. We had leads from 79 different countries over 28 days.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So less than 15% of my actual customers come from North America, from both Canada and the U.S. More than 85% come from everywhere else. And I think in part, I really did do things early on in my business to cause that to happen intentionally. I don't do enough today to continue to cause that to happen intentionally. And I really should, because if you look at the audience that you serve, and in my case, I typically don't go after the typical, quote-unquote, internet marketer. The audience that I prefer to serve is someone who's interested in either personal development or self-improvement in some way, who is also open to the idea of having a business because it can help them to become more fulfilled and all those other things that the business can help them with. So for me, I really intentionally am in the self-improvement arena. That market is one that is much bigger with much more money to spend outside of the U.S. than it is in the U.S. People in Europe and Asia and South Africa and even many of the Middle Eastern countries actually budget for their self-improvement. People here in the U.S. wouldn't even think of that. We're in a slow time economically, and they're not going to go put some money into developing themselves right now. They'll wait till they're making money to do that. Now, if that's not the silliest thing you ever heard.
Yeah, really. That's backwards.
In the U.S.
Yeah, we'll just get the cart. We'll worry about the horse later.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Outside of the U.S., they know that if they want more money coming in, they need the budget for self-improvement. Mm-hmm. And if you look at people outside the U.S., they treat their holidays as really being non-violatable. People here in the U.S., if money's tight, they're not taking a vacation. They're going to work a little bit more, make themselves a little more burned out so that they can get their money to slow down even more. A little backwards, I know.
Backwards!
In terms of causing change or making an impact, because of this unusual circumstance, the people outside of North America are also much more likely to take action on the message that I share. And so it's really important that you look at your own markets in that way so that you can figure out where is it that both, number one, the market has money. Number two, the market is likely to act upon what you're sharing with them. And in doing that, how those markets can really help you to improve your results and better reach the goals that you have. So I know for the two of you, the markets you plan on serving are also going to be self-improvement oriented. And my listening audience for this show is really perfect for it. We usually have somewhere around 100-ish kind of people listening to the show live, but because this is Blog Talk Radio, the show is then archived on a permanent basis, and Ron and I will actually create this show as a featured show that will be spotlighted for several weeks into the future, and during that time, it's not unusual to have thousands of people come in and listen to the replays. because they can access it anytime they want. And that's the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio.
I definitely
want the two of you using Blog Talk Radio sometime in the future, because it's going to be really great for getting your message out.
The thing is that we realize that we're just us two, and we've been doing this for 30-some years, and of course we've affected tens of thousands of people from the small to tall. I say we love them all, but initially we said we will never reach the audience or the venue of the individuals that really need to hear this message so they can start applying these particular tools and these principles. And I often, like I said in the earlier part of the program, I give full credit to those Native elders that have been carrying those particular heartfelt messages about believing yourself, following your dreams, listening to your heart. And one of the things in which I teach the children is I get them to holler at the school all at once with me that I am a gift to the world. And I want them to say that it's not because I said so. It's because you said so. It's because I said, how do you feel now? Do you feel really happy? Do you feel really good? And they say, yes. I said, because that's because you spoke a truth. That's because it resonates from your very being. In every one of your cells, that's a truth. And if you can say that every morning, it will change your life. And so that's one of the things what was taught to me as a young man from those Native elders. And I feel that, you know, that's a powerful, powerful thing that we could all embrace.
Absolutely.
Gina, I think every single one of our listeners and every single one of our customers should shout that to ourselves every single day, because as adults we need it even more, I think, than the children, because of what's so often been lost.
Yeah, you know, Rhonda, that's exactly what we find to be true, that we work with children a lot. We also work with a lot of adults, and with adults, it's in some ways, like Robert was saying, kids get it right away. Kids don't take much prompting. You can get them to yell out, you know, immediately and be just revel in it, really feel it and embrace it. With adults, it's much more difficult for them to get to that place of inner freedom, of really just owning that I am a gift to the world. I'm here for a purpose. I have something of value to contribute, and that value doesn't come from what I do or what I say. It comes just from the fact that I exist and I am here, and there's no one that holds this space. I am the one to hold this space, and it's my being, you know, that is the gift. It's not something else. And so with adults, I think some of our most rewarding work is when we're working with adults and doing the workshops and seminars and courses that we've developed, because people get it and they're just like, it's like, you know, it's like, like finding home, you know, like finding home in yourself. We have a song on one of our recordings called Carry Me Home. And it's really that experience, that feeling of being totally calm and at peace and centered and grounded and just owning the power and sacred gift that life is and
yes.
That this moment is. That's what that song is really about. Carry me home to myself. Carry me, you know, bring me back to myself.
Makes me think I should remind people where to find you. You know, I'm so sorry. We get to talking. And I do have it in the show notes, but I want to make sure to say out loud, if you go to thetalltrees.com, it's one place to find you. And also, what is your other website? I'm not looking at it right now.
MyAmericanIndianWisdom.com.
Thank you. MyAmericanIndianWisdom.com.
Right.
Fantastic. Thanks, Rhonda.
And where can people find your music that you have just mentioned? Which site is that on My American Indian Wisdom?
The easiest way to get it is to go to The Tall Trees, thetalltrees.com, thetalltrees.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little button on the flash menu that says Shop. You can click on there and click on the music, and there are actually sound samples. They can listen, you know, get a kind of a sample sound for them, and they can download them or order the CDs and get the CD shipped to them. So that's probably the easiest, because they actually can hear it right there. You can also read about the music on My American Indian Wisdom, but we don't yet have it hooked up where we can hear it. So either one, you can order it at either location.
Well, that would be nice to hear it, though, and so that's good to know where they can find your products and shop with you.
Absolutely. And the music, I think Gina can attest, is very soothing. In fact,
it's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. When we, you know, on the flute CD is called Echoes of the Heart, and Robert was nominated by the Native American Music Awards as Best Flautist for that recording. And that music is so serene that we have had people jokingly say, you should put a disclaimer on not to operate any heavy machinery while you're listening.
Don't listen while driving, right?
Yeah, right.
Here, I live near Branson, Missouri, and we happen to have the group Brulee in our area performing all year long. Do you know Paul LaRoche or any of them from Brulee? Oh, wonderful.
Yes, we do. Paul and Kathy and the kids, yeah, we do. We have on numerous occasions performed at some of the same venues that they've.
I thought that might be the case. Well, that's really exciting. I was reaching out to him. I happened to go see the show on his birthday, and I said, well, for once I'm giving you something that's signed. Instead of you signing something, I had him sign a Christmas ornament I had bought from them, and he smiled and laughed, and I gave him a copy of my book, The Peace Seed, and signed it to him, and I'm going to follow up with him, and I'll be sure to say, well, I just had the Tall Trees on the radio.
Yeah, there's been a few times because for some reason when we're not in the same area or right next to each other, people sometimes ask me if I'm him. I said, no, he's a little shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very, very nice people. Very
good
people. Yeah. And great music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, also fabulous music as yourselves, so... That'll be fun to get better acquainted with them, and perhaps they'll come on our show, too. That's one of my intentions, to reach out to them. They also have a powerful story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yes, he does. Absolutely. Starting from his beginnings and then after his family's gone and finding his roots again.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Again, and when people hear these particular things, I really think that I believe in my heart of hearts that it gives them hope in whatever journey that they're on. That, you know, that the truth will rise to the surface, and they need to embrace and realize that this is who they are, and for whatever reasons, many times, you know, such as my father leaving it when I was 2, I now look at in a whole different perspective. I was taking and saying to Terry, I said, you know, he obviously, my mother said when on the day he left when I was 2 years old, he held me and he wept. She said he cried for hours, and because he must have knew in his heart that he would never see me again, or something was there. But initially, her taking it upon herself to fill that hole within my life, within my heart, and it took so many elders to take and fill that place. And now I say to people, he must have been a great man, because look how many Native elders it took to fill that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I carry that now within my heart, my mind, that, you know, that whatever, for every reason, my mother says maybe she had an accident or something because of this journey he had to take, and he just wasn't able to return. But initially, I look at it and as part of how my life was formed. If he had been there, of course, she would have never called upon those elders to have potentially allowing me to have that ability to use that today to inspire even more people from their words,
mm-hmm.
from their songs, and from their stories.
What I find really moving with your story, and it's also true with Paul LaRoche, it's certainly true with both of you, is as you tap into, you're on a journey looking for something to fill a gap in yourself, you end up finding your roots in something that is so much a part of your core that it ties into your passion and becomes your mission.
Absolutely.
And that is the vehicle then to touch more and more lives and to find those and build those relationships with people who are willing to share and excited to share that journey.
And that's what it's about, is all of us sharing our journeys. I mean, that's what I, you know, and then we start to come, and so many individuals then they speak to us and say, wow, this person knows what it is to be living in poverty. This person knows what it is to be raised by a single parent. And this person knows, and I speak their language then. If they're, and many times I'll say to the children, if you're living in poverty where you're having difficulty, or even you're close to being homeless, or maybe are homeless, or maybe realize that that is not your future. That is just things that are happening in the moment. Just set your goals. Set your sights on the aspects of doing much better, and you can. You can achieve those things, because I'm not any different than you. All I've done is made a hole in the fence. Just follow me through.
Yes.
You know, I'm hearing in each of you sharing, I'm hearing a theme that is, I think, a really huge gift to anyone listening, and that is that no matter what the circumstances that you're experiencing, when you relate to it, this is like one level of relationship, right? When you relate to it as something that takes you closer to the life that you want to have, to the expression of your life that's whole, when you see it that way and you see the gift in it and you see you honor it that way, that's a very empowered place to be coming from, rather than feeling like a victim and feeling like this happened to me and I am at the effect of that circumstance. When you embrace it and say, because of this, my life is this, you know, in so much more, that there's so much power in that, and that can only attract greater and greater good into your life.
And so glad you mentioned that, because it is so important. One of the traits that you see in those who are successful in their business and as entrepreneurs is that by far, almost every single one of them, if not every single one of them, has the ability, and I do believe it's a skill as well as a trait, to see the good in those things that would otherwise be perceived as negative. When I look back at the illness that I had and the car accident that cut my locker short, I would go back and do every single part of it over, no matter how painful it was, no matter how much money it cost me, even given the fact that I almost lost my life. I would do it all over again with one condition. As long as I came out with the same wisdom that I have today and with this new direction for fulfilling my passion in a way that really changes lives. As long as I could do that, it was all worth it, and I'd do it 10 times over.
Right.
Have you noticed how many more people love you?
That's not necessarily why I do it, Robert, but yes, that is true also.
It's a nice perk, though.
It's a perk.
Absolutely. No more lawyer jokes that come from people who really despise attorneys. And I don't really see that the idea of going back to becoming a practicing attorney as something that I would even contemplate at all, ever. I'm grateful for my past as a practicing attorney because it allowed me to create a better system for developing businesses using the power of relationship marketing. Had I not had what I learned as an attorney, and had I not had that training in systems and strategies, my system probably wouldn't be as powerful as it is today.
Right.
But
I'm sure that's true.
Every single part of the whole thing that I've gone through in my life, going back to the time I was a teenager until all the way at the end of my illness, each step I took led me down this path that brought me to where I am today, being able to touch lives and really help people change the world. So every single part of it, no matter how painful or costly, was very, very, very much worth it. And I think people really don't stop often enough to see the good in those things that most people perceive as negative. Linda and I talk about this often on this show, and I've shared example after example of this exact same thing that we're talking about now. And I think the best example is in what Robert just shared about viewing his father leaving as a young child in a very positive way. That's mm-hmm. just such a great illustration of how to find the good inside of the bad.
Yeah,
and a great and another neat tip for anyone listening is that one way to, you know, you were talking about it's also a skill. And so a skill is something that you practice over and over again until you get better and better at it. And
you got
one
it.
One way to practice that is usually we have a better understanding of things in hindsight. So when we're in the midst of it, it's not always so easy to see. But a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times it's easier for people after the fact to look back and say, oh, you know, that worked out, or, oh, this is the good that came out of that. And so one thing that I would encourage people to do is to do kind of a review on their life and look for those things that at the time seemed like maybe they would think it wasn't a good thing or it was they'd view it as being negative, but then in hindsight, looking back and seeing how it worked out for even better than how they had planned it, and then keep track of that. And so that what you're doing is training your brain, training your consciousness to look at that's actually a pattern that happens in our life. When we focus on that it does work out better, that there is a good plan going on here that we may not be aware of, but that's what we focus our consciousness on, then eventually it gets to the point where it starts catching up and we don't have to wait until it's over. And you know what I mean? We start actually looking for, well, what good can come out of this situation that I'm in right now that I might not think is the way I wanted it to be? What good can come out of this? And all of a sudden, it speeds up that process and it minimizes that suffering that we feel.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I have to say, for all of our listeners, can you tell that Terry is really passionate about what she's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
She got bigger and louder as she just shared that lesson with all of us. Could you hear it?
I sure could. I'm sure listeners could.
It certainly isn't the shy Terry that started at the beginning of the show.
No.
And I say that because when you're living your passion, you do get more excited about it. Time passes more quickly. You're having much more fun. And the impact on the people you touch is so much bigger.
Yes.
It's not unusual, Gina, that when we do a presentation, especially with adults, that after the presentation that some of the men and women are in tears. And we're not really sure what part of the presentation touched their heart, but we know that it opened something up for a great healing. And to me, that's always been an affirmation of that we hit our mark every time. When we have children
Absolutely.
Saying things, or even the adults coming up afterwards saying, you really got me thinking about how special my life is, or how special, or how much I can change my children's life and my experiences, and start looking at life and the positive aspect of life. I said, oh, yeah, there's much more positive things going on in the world than there is negative. It's just that we're trained through society to take and look and magnify those things that are negative. But I said, if you really start training your mind, you can actually go the other direction and start embracing all the real great things, and then your mind and your heart and your spirit will want more of those great things coming toward it. I said, it's how powerful that we are as human beings.
That's for sure. And Linda, I think you were going to say something. I didn't mean to cut you off before.
No, I think that might have been Terry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So I want to kind of switch gears here for a little bit because the show is about relationship marketing. And I want to talk about the relationships that the two of you have created over the years and how that has helped you in growing your business. What can you tell us about the relationships that you've had that have caused the success that you've had thus far?
You want to start off, Terry?
Sure. And let me just clarify, the relationships that we've built with others to nurture and grow our business.
Yes.
Is that what you're asking? Great.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, one of the things is just as a kind of a come from, Robert and I are really always in the mode of serving. We're always in that our first and foremost commitment is to serve others, and that in doing so, ultimately we serve ourselves. You know, that it's a circle, and it's that's part of our cultural belief is that life is a circle, and that there isn't really a beginning and an end. There isn't a separation. There's just different vantage points from that circle where things may appear to be different, but it's all part of one whole. And so in everything that we do, we always come from the perspective of how does this serve our clients? How can we bring them more value? How can we support them in something that they may be having pain around or having a struggle with? And so that's the foundation of how we build relationships. It's always about service. And so that I think that's probably, wouldn't you say, Robert, that that's kind of...
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is we are always excited about individuals that have a tendency of taking and being the forefront and the technology and how they have a tendency of integrating not only the human characteristics in that particular technology, but also how they can reach even more people. And we purposely watch and study individuals. That's been kind of a trait that Terry and I have been doing since children. But initially, creating those particular relationships with those individuals, listening intently and deriving from each one of their stories or lessons specific principles or things that we can apply within our own lives. We know that everything has a tendency of expanding, whether it's a plant pushing through the soil or a human being taking and expanding their own personal horizons, their own environment, their own minds, and their own and when we have a tendency of realizing that we are part of nature and nature is part of us, and we take an observant of that nature and seeing how it continues to move outward and beyond, we can take and say, okay, all we have to do is set our minds to the aspects of what is it that we need to, with that, what is it that we'd love to have happen within our lives. And when we set that particular goal, then all those things will come flourish within our lives and happen. We are people of relationships, but relationships have a tendency of being also relative to not only our well-being, but also the way in which we support our lives. Many of the people many years ago, there were specific things that were happening. There was a natural element, natural skills, natural things that were with in the specific families. Those particular natural elements, like some of them were hunters, some of them understood dreams and visions, some of them understood the plants, people, some of them understand the animals, some understand the hunting. You know, there was a numerous skills that were then specifically dominant within each family, and those each families were teachers. And each child was allowed to go to each one of those families and learn what they could. And whatever had a tendency to being relative to them, to their nature, then they had a tendency of, as a family, saying, okay, you need to follow that. Well, today's society doesn't have an doesn't do that. What they say is that, oh, look, you can make a lot of money doing this, therefore money's going to make you happy. We said, no, you got it reversed. What you need to realize is that when you follow your happiness, then that prosperity will be there. It'll come because other people want to support somebody who's happy. So that's basically what we try to take and implement in the aspect of creating our relationships, getting them to realize that if you have intensity of following your heart's desire, then it's going to, and other individuals are going to be wanting to be around those individuals. I was teaching we were doing a program at a university. We had two professors there. And after we did our program, they came up afterwards and they said, we just both resigned our positions. We realized this isn't what we wanted our children to grow up in. And so we're going to follow our heart's desire. So we used our savings. We bought a KOA campground, and I'm going to be fixing things, and my wife's going to be taking and working with the individuals, and we're going to be out in the woods and out in the wilderness and out in the fresh air. I said, that's wonderful, except for this university is not going to ask me back if their professors are going to resign every time I come here. So it's never too late to follow your dream. It's never too late to start planning on the aspect of those things that excite you. You know, it's only too late when you take your last breath. So that'll be be too late then. And I say to individuals, when you stand before the Creator, are you going to say, oh, I went and swam with the dolphins, and I taught my children how to track animals, and I taught them how to take and know when the storms are coming, when the leaves turn their backs with the wind, and I did this and this? Or are you going to say, well, I sat there and I thought about it a lot, and I did this and I did that, and I thought about it, but I didn't really do anything that excited me, and I kind of did what my parents wanted to, or my friends thought that I should do best to make a good living, and I made a good living, but I didn't make a life. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what we
huge distinction.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Huge distinction. One other thing, Gina, that we do that is also part of our culture is we always have the intention to give more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we have plenty to give in terms of our creativity and the value that we can create in other people's lives. And so we're always looking for ways to give even more and to reach even more. And so that's part of how we have always approached our businesses. Oh, that's really cool. What kind of materials could we give so that they've got things to support this after we leave? You know, because a lot of our work has been, as you said, offline rather than online. And we had an interesting experience we had about a year ago. We love to give gifts. We just love to give gifts. It's really fun for us.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, you just feel great when you get
it's
to give.
It's fun. It's great. Yeah.
And we try to find things that are personal and meaningful, not just, you know, like, oh, let's order a bunch of promotional products, but we try to find things that have some real value and something kind of personal, heartfelt. And then in terms of creating additional value in the programs, like materials that really help fix a problem or whatever. And so we've been doing this for a long, long time, just instinctively, and we're always adding more. We're just always looking for more ways to do that. And about a year ago, you know, Kevin Wilkie and Don Osborne and the Nitro training programs, we had purchased their training program, and I was looking at it, and they positioned it a little bit differently. Because one of the things that Robert and I have not really ever done is looked at things strategically.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this about us, you know, that we have all the right, we have the right mindset and the right intention in our heart about things, but we don't necessarily look at strategically how to do that and tie it together. So we were taking the course, and it's like, well, give some bonus materials. And we're like, well, we do that. But we never tell anybody. It's like, it was always like the surprise, like after the fact, they'd get it because it was like a present, like a secret present. do you love this? And so they were like, okay, well, like tell them up front. And when you do this, you will also get this, 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 and this, which we were doing anyway and just not telling them. So we reframed that a little bit and just let people know, you know, when you schedule these trainings, you'll also get these things. And it was great because it had a really positive impact on our business doing it that way. And it wasn't anything different for us other than that we were just letting them know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of funny that, you know.
It is.
We're learning. I feel like every day, we're really embracing this process that there's so much that we can learn from other people to help increase the effectiveness of what we're doing and how we do it, and that will ultimately give our clients a better experience, you know, that gives them a better experience. So that's really what it's about also, that everybody can move forward in it in a way where it's like, yeah, this is fun, this is cool.
We started calling you had mentioned something in the past in which I said I'm going to start using because it feels more natural to us. We many times don't even refer to the individuals have taken and become part of our life and our livelihood as clients. We started calling them part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you said it.
Yeah, me too.
And I said, I want to use that. You know, they are part of our community. And we are supporting things within their lives or giving the tools necessary to take and kind of unravel all the the chaos in the world, and in the same instance, they're also taking, allowing us to continue to expand and get more tools to other individuals. So it's a circle in itself when you have a tendency of looking from that perspective.
You know, and that's exactly, if there were one thing that I would say, if we would say one thing about how we've built our business, it's exactly what you just said, Robert, that people come have a very personal experience with us, that we don't, we're very professional, very, very professional in everything that we do, and provide very high quality. And the way that that gets delivered is very personal, because we're not dealing with some entity. We're dealing with one person at a time. In reality, in life, that's what it is. It's person to person, heart to heart, smile to smile. And people have an experience of us like that. And so that's what we're building. We are building a community. We're not building a customer base. We're not building a list. We're building
list.
A community.
Yeah. I laugh because I hate talking about list building. It just drives me nuts. I'm like, excuse me, but these are people. This is a community. It's not a list. A list is what you're putting on to go buy at the grocery store.
You're too funny, Rhonda. You're too funny.
That's good.
And I think part of why what you're learning from me is resonating so well with you is because what I teach is a system that starts
right.
with serving.
Right.
And for most of my students, for those who are really coming in new that don't necessarily have a business right now, the whole idea of building a business around the idea of serving other people is just so foreign. It's so different than the way that the rest of the world does business. Everybody else builds systems around selling. And what I know from seeing it not just in my own business, but in all of my hundreds of students' businesses as well, is that if you first look strategically at places where you can put offers or opportunities that are also serving, but at the same time that make you money as well. And then once those little details are in place, you do nothing but go out and serve as many people as you can to the best of your ability. That combination will cause you to make more money in the end than any sales-based model ever could. Because it will not only help you bring more traffic, subscribers, leads, whatever you want to call it, a much higher percentage of those people visiting your site will go on to buy what you're offering or recommending. It's amazing and totally blows me away to see some of the conversion numbers that I get. And other internet marketers, Kevin Wilkie from Nitro Marketing included, when they first hear about the kinds of conversions that my system gets, they kind of look at me with a very skeptical face, and they're like, yeah, right, you're nuts. Okay, let's go to the next person. But when they really see the system in action and can see for themselves that these conversions are very, very real, they too are equally blown away. One of my mentors, Kevin Nation, is someone that a big part of my system is based on. I took what I learned from Kevin as well as things I've learned from other great marketers like Evan Pagan and then what I knew as a JV broker, and I put them all together in this unique way to create the system. Even Kevin, who really created the initial system that I modeled, he doesn't get conversions anywhere near the kinds of conversions that I get. I probably have 4 to 5 times better conversions than what Kevin gets because it's all based around the serving. So the two of you are going to have such a much, much easier time building your business using the power of the internet because you already understand what it means to serve. And that's not always something that people really get from the start. Usually, figuring out how to serve is really a struggle for a lot of people. How did the two of you learn to serve as well as you do?
Well, part of it's culture, I think, Gina, when it comes to aspects of how we've taught, you know, because we saw how our teachers were consistently in service. Mm-hmm. When they were called to do something, not always were they always compensated for doing it. Many times that came out of their own pocket when individuals didn't have enough to take any afford. So many times where I would watch where they say, well, if you can get me some gas money and we could maybe have a potluck, I could probably do a teaching, you know, where you're at, you know, and then we'd go to a facility like a YMCA or something, a particular facility, so we get a large group to come in because there is a longing for knowledge. And they would then take and go there, and of course everybody would bring something to be, so it would help be able to eat, and then they'd start teaching some of the philosophies to larger groups. Of course, back then all they had was you didn't have the ability to reach more people back then with these particular words of wisdom. But initially, like I said, I saw how time and time again that a lot of times they would go there, and there really wasn't even the money that was given to them was really enough to compensate for the time or even their accommodations or even the fuel that it took for them to get there. But still, it didn't matter. They always came, and they always, because they felt that there was a need, and they felt that it was part of their life's purpose to take and try to fulfill that need. So I think it was kind of instilled upon us that, you know, do whatever it takes, but make a difference, and in the long run, it'll all work out.
That and both of us, both of our families are, we both grew up in environments where it was constantly modeled to be in service to others, in whatever way you could do that. I mean, if without even thinking to offer, I had one of my first elders, an elder from the Ogallala people, and his name is Teola Tatanka, means looks for buffalo. And he said to me one time, he said, you know, if you see that someone needs help, don't wait for them to ask. Don't make them humiliate themselves like that. Just if you see somebody needs help, go give them help. If it's within your capacity to do it, then do it. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're here to help one another. And so that's just, it's like breathing, you know what I mean? It's not something we think about. It's not something we think, oh, that's so great. It's just like, well, why wouldn't you do that?
Wouldn't you? Yeah.
Absolutely. And Gina, you're right that many of it's of society because of the mindset and how they've been taught. I mean, they didn't come out of the womb thinking that they're supposed to be thinking that way or living this way. That they need to take and kind of unteach or undo some of the things in order to really create a value. Many times the return is not monetary. Many times the return is just exhilarating. It's like you just gave a lot of people a great gift. And you can see it upon their face when they just become light, and they can see that spark coming back in their eye, whether it's an adult or child. And you go, wow, that's exactly why I came here, you know. And I've had where individuals where my wife and I were contracted to a school, and for some unknown reason, there was no other school that actually would contract with them. So we'd drive 1,100 miles to do this one school. It didn't even cause us to break even by the time we got there because of fuel and hotel. And the principal would apologize. I said, no, you don't understand. You know, this is okay. You know, and he says, well, why would you come this way? I said, because did you see the look on your face, your students' faces? I said, that's why we came here. Because every single person matters. That's why we came here. I said, don't you get it? Every person matters.
So for someone who's just starting out, who hasn't mastered the art of service, who's sitting there going, I don't get it, what kind of advice would you have for them?
I'd say for them to actually go to some of the places where the homeless are, where they serve the food, and actually be in service, because that's what you can give. I mean, people give money, and that's great, and they can give canned goods and clothing to various organizations, but really the value is when you physically are in service. That's truly where you start feeling that you make a difference, and that's a good place to begin. You know, it's like Terry said, we've always had that kind of a precept that whatever we do, if it's possible, we will give more than what's expected, because we want them to realize that we appreciate their invitation for us to be there, but we also want to show and reciprocate the aspects of that they have value and consistent abundance of opening up these almost sometimes intangible presence to each other. And that's one thing, when we see somebody that's doing something great, we want to say, you don't know me, but I can see that you are making some great changes, and I want to support that any way I can. And I think that's initially what happens in life. Is the world is starting to change. I'm really surprised. I was hoping to see it in my lifetime, and it looks like I'm going to. And the aspect that people's hearts are starting to come in the forefront rather than their minds.
I just want to say this. I'm kind of excited. We just sent out our July newsletter, and the theme for this month is service, Gina.
Oh, great.
It was great because we didn't know we were even going to talk about this, right? But if anyone would like to receive that, just go to thetalltrees.com and submit your first name and your email address, and we will send you our July newsletter. There's a fabulous short story and quote that inspires service. And I do think, Robert, just what you said, go out and do something where you actually physically see. So like volunteer to pour in the soup line or mop the floors or do something where you're actually physically in contact with a lot of times if you write a check or you donate something and you don't really see what happens with it, you still don't make that internal connection that you're talking about, Gina.
Right.
Like there's something that happens inside you, and that is priceless. It's priceless. If there's a neighbor that you can take shopping, an elderly person, you can't buy that feeling.
No, you really can't.
Right.
And it's the same way when you're building your business. You're just doing it on a bigger scale than just taking a neighbor to a grocery store. It's just a matter of figuring out who you want to serve and what problems they have so that you can turn that into your serving them by helping them to solve those problems. Works like the same way no matter what you're passionate about. And so if you're in the golf niche, you're going to serve people who like to play golf. I don't know what that can be, any number of different things. But this is really what my system is all about. And I think, Terry, I'm going to go over a little here because we only have 90 seconds left, but one of the things that I've seen already in the short time we've known each other is very unusual, quote-unquote, coincidences seem to happen all the time. And I think this is just yet another example of it.
Right.
Come from this being a really amazing thing for us to know one another. While you feel like I'm serving you so well, I feel the same about the two of you. So it's a really neat thing that happens because of the service. So, Rhonda, what do you want to wrap up with today?
I want to make sure people go to thetalltrees.com, and you can get their newsletter. You can shop with them, interact with them. They are delightful, and hopefully our paths will cross so that I can meet you in person. I will look forward to that so very much.
Me too.
Thank you. You have served our audience well, and I'm definitely I'm putting the rooster thinks so too. I'm putting this show in my autoresponder follow-up so that everybody who interacts with me really can get this message of service and passion combined that you have brought to our audience today, and thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, both of you. I would also like to talk to the two of you a little bit later today, so if you could send me either an instant message or something with a phone number I could reach you at after 2:30 Eastern today, I would really appreciate it.
That would be lovely. Absolutely.
Thank you. Rhonda and I will be back next. You're very welcome. Rhonda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another wonderful episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. So please mark your calendars and
come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. We'll Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.